Oh, Lord Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. When it plays anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna settle. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Everybody, and oh boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We are Uncensored Radio, and you know we are your guiltiest pleasure. Tonight, Jeffrey Emmett is in the house. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm fantastic. Excited for all the people that are getting to talk to their hero.
I agree. And Katrina Johnson has a coffee cough. She's on the line, too. How are you, Kat?
Hello. Yes, I think it's the universe protecting our special guest, and that is why I'm losing my voice.
Right, and James is our producer. He is greeting the calls tonight. James, I know you're excited about this one.
I am. I am very excited.
Well, you know what? I'm very excited as well, and we're not going to waste any more time because I know we've got a million people in the chat room. We've got a million people waiting to call in and ask questions. David Yost is on the show tonight. David, how are you, my friend?
Karen and everyone else, thank you so much for having me, and I'm doing well.
You're very welcome.
You said you have a million people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people wanting to talk to you. And for those who, like, barely crawled out from under a rock, you guys know David Yost. He played Billy on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He's a really great friend of mine, and I'm very happy you're here.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here and support you.
Thank you. David and I are really good friends, and I've had the pleasure of working with him since Power Rangers on other projects, and he's just a great guy, so I'm glad that everyone gets to talk to him today and meet the real you, you know, get a chance to meet you. What would you say is something that about you that's different from your character, Billy? Because I think sometimes fans think that we're one and the same. What is one thing that's different about you than he was?
I think the most noticeable thing would be that he was super, super intelligent, and I am not intelligent in the way that Billy was intelligent as far as books go and getting good grades. Is that Katrina laughing at me?
Yes! Because I see you in action, and I know better. I know you're very intelligent, especially as a producer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice of you. But, I mean, I'm not an inventor. I don't understand science on any level, and Billy was very scientific and always making inventions, and, you know, he was light years ahead of most people. So, I was just a very average student in school and all that kind of stuff. So that would be the major difference. It was fun to play an intelligent person.
Yeah, okay. I get that. Yeah, because he was pretty smart. Like, we'd have a problem, and Billy invented the solution, like, right on the spot.
Like, is that one of the things you hated the most about it? Because I noticed throughout the show, since Karen's been on with us, I've gone back and, like, watched it on Netflix. The glasses just seem to disappear, and the overalls, and all of a sudden you've got, like, buff shirts on. And what was all that? What happened there?
I did hate the overalls. I just thought, you know, I spent my first season, which was 40 episodes, in overalls, and I just really couldn't handle it wearing them for another day. So I did push to move Billy into different types of wardrobe. And the glasses, honestly, I don't mind wearing glasses. I still wear glasses to read at night and things like that. But the glasses that I wore on the show had fake lenses in them, and they hadn't really perfected the craft of making the lenses correct for lighting and stuff like that for the camera, so it didn't glare in the camera. So the lenses I had like a, they would spray dulling spray on it, so I was never really seeing clear, and I noticed that my eyesight started to change and things like that. So it just became more of a thing where I just was getting frustrated in my personal life with my eyesight changing, because of the glasses that I was wearing at work. So I just, you know, got rid of them when we went and did the movie. And Billy got contact.
I love it. Yeah, because to me, I was like, you know, Billy's so smart, he would have, been, you know, invented something to fix his eyesight. But, you know,
Yeah, I did too.
What were you going to say? He probably was.
I was just going to say he probably invented LASIK surgery, that's all.
Exactly. Billy would have invented that. I agree. So I never asked you this question, but I always wondered, what was your audition process like? Because, you know, you're part of the original cast. Like, you guys, and once we came on, the show was a hit. What was that like when you first auditioned?
It was really intense and exciting. I think, like I've mentioned to some people, but maybe some people in your audience don't know this yet, but I originally started auditioning for the part of the Red Ranger for Jason. So I had my first three auditions were all for that role, because I fit sort of the description that they were looking for at that time. They were looking for somebody that looked like Jason Priestley and kind of had that look, and that's sort of what I looked like at that time. And so my first three auditions were for Jason the Red Ranger, but then something inside me was saying, you know, you're probably not going to get this role. So I asked the casting director, well, would I be able to read for Billy as well? And she said yes. And so then I started auditioning for Billy and Jason at the same time, and then eventually they just said, okay, we're going to call you back, but we're only calling you back for Billy. And, you know, it just kind of progressed from there. And I had a total of 8 callbacks in total.
What?
Until I got the role of Billy. So it was really on, you know, it was a crazy, it was like over the course of a month, maybe a little bit more of a month period. And it was just really intense. And, you know, every day would bring something new, or every week would bring something new. And you would be wondering if I'm going to get the job, and having to make up excuses at my other job, you know, calling in sick or just not showing up so I could audition for this role.
What were you doing then? I've never heard this story.
I worked as a room service waiter at a really expensive hotel on Sunset Boulevard. So, you know, I was like, Whoopi Goldberg lived in the hotel, and that's the time that she was dating Ted Danson, and Pierce Brosnan would stay there. River Phoenix, before he passed away, was staying there. It was like amazing, the people that would come through there. So it was a really great job, but obviously I wanted to be in the same position that all those actors were in.
There you go.
Yep.
That's awesome. Wow. Another
thing, Whoopi didn't get her french fries, but we all got a new childhood hero. I think it worked out.
Exactly. Speaking of childhood heroes, I actually have a question from one of the fans. Let me make sure I get this person's name right. Gary Bingaman asked, who were your heroes growing up?
I grew up in the era of the original Star Wars, and so, I mean, I was all about that stuff, but I really identified with Darth Vader. Like, I just thought he was, like, the most amazing thing.
What?
I love it. That makes the most sense.
I thought I was going to get a Princess Leia. Did not see that coming.
So I don't know what that says about me personally, because I'm on the dark side, but I did love that. And then, God, what was the other show? There was a show on TV, Battlestar Galactica. Like, I loved that show as well. So,
okay.
But, you know, I would say Darth Vader was like my biggest inspiration growing up.
I love it. Well, it just tells me that you like to be in control. Like, he was willing to do whatever to control everything.
Oh, my God, we're going to get into a psychological analysis of
you. Interesting.
You know, lay on my couch, David, so I can psychoanalyze you.
Yeah.
Trust me, all of them, Katrina, Jeff, they've all been psychoanalyzed by me.
She's horrible.
That's right.
She's a monster.
She's a monster.
She really is.
I'm Darth Vader, too. I think I like Darth Vader also.
Good, good. We're on the same team.
Exactly. So how did you parlay? Obviously, you were acting. You did this huge show. Then you decided to go into producing. How did you shift gears and go into producing as opposed to, you know, pounding the pavement? I know you were still, you know, getting other acting roles, but it seemed like producing became your love at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a combination out of necessity to pay bills and also just, like, being interested in that aspect of the entertainment industry. I just remember watching Jonathan, one of our producers on Power Rangers. You know, I just was always fascinated by his job, and I loved his work ethic and his moral standard, and I based a lot of, you know, my stuff as a producer on him and his philosophy of how he did things. I just thought he always ran an amazing ship. And, you know, so when I came back from Mexico after having my nervous breakdown, I wasn't really sure about really acting 100%. I mean, I still wanted to be an actor, but I just thought, well, I'll start working towards being a producer too, because then maybe eventually I'll produce my own stuff. And, you know, I had to start off like everybody else. I became a PA, and I got people coffee and took out the trash and cleaned the toilets and all that kind of stuff. But luckily, my smarts helped me move up pretty quickly. And, you know, I didn't have to hang out there too long doing that kind of stuff. But then I just started working on documentaries and then on reality TV shows and just kept going from there.
Right. And see, that's the thing, people don't know. Yeah, no, people don't know. Like, you've worked on several known shows. Can you want to list some of those? Because they don't even realize that you've been in the mix for a long time. You know, I think they get confused because you're not acting, but you're producing major shows. You're part of major production companies.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked on a lot of trashy, so to speak,
all my favorites. Right.
But I'm not always, I mean, I love obviously the production companies that I work for and I support everything that they do. But you know, just like, it's not always the thing that you really want to be working on. I mean, a lot of times it's just for a paycheck. But yes, I've worked on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The first big reality show that I did was Temptation Island way back in the day. You know, so there's been like a slew of other stuff, movies of the week that have aired on Fox and on Lifetime. And I have like three shows that are on Cartoon Network now that are live action shows that I'm really proud of. And I think they're funny. And the people that we get to guest star on the shows are just like some of the hottest comics and comedians in Hollywood right now. So it's just fun to come to set and work with so many talented people that really kind of inspire you and at least make you laugh at the end of the day.
Right.
Well, if you're looking for two women, I've got two right here that, you know, for a small fee, I could hook you up with.
You're pimping them out, huh? You're there.
Absolutely. How do you think she's going to, what is it? Where are we going? Lexicon? I'm like, we're going. Yeah.
He's like, signing me up for many, many conventions this year. And I was like, what are we doing? I already arranged it. I've negotiated your rate. I'm like, oh my god.
Well, I'll be at Lexington Comic Con too, so I'll be happy to see you there.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great.
We all have to go get into trouble.
Okay.
David, you gonna get into trouble with us?
I'll do my best.
How much trouble could we possibly get into in Lexington, Kentucky?
Have you met Katrina?
I got a new purse that holds a full wine bottle, so plenty of
okay, I changed my mind. We can get into a lot of trouble. David, I might dial with you.
You what?
I want to dial. Oh, Miss Girl. No.
Go ahead.
I just want to dial back for a second because you mentioned you had a little breakdown. And I know, you know, I think everybody at this point kind of knows you went through the ringer a little bit in your personal life. And I kind of want to know, like, what was that like for you at that time? And how did you get through it? Because I think there's a lot of kids out there who are going through it now that they look up to. And, you know, you were their superhero. And to know that you went through the same thing, I think, speaks a lot to them.
Yeah, I mean, it was like I don't even know where to begin with this. It was really difficult for me to be a gay person and to grow up as a religious person, and just sort of my whole battle with myself was being gay and also being in the right side of God, as people say. And so that was
Were you Catholic? A conflict for,
not Catholic, but I grew up very similar to Mormonism. I grew up in a church called the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Very good people, very liberal people, but you still hear the things in the Bible that people think that it says and, you know,
right.
all that kind of stuff. But I also grew up in states like Montana, in Colorado, in Iowa. And, you know, it's those aren't, I can remember being in middle school. It was either eighth or ninth grade. I can't remember specifically. And this is when Rock Hudson, who was a famous actor back in the 50s and 60s, contracted the AIDS virus and died of AIDS.
Right.
And this is like the first time that we're sort of hearing about AIDS. But I can remember being in Montana, and I remember being in PE class, and I remember people really talking about gay people that day because of Rock Hudson and how bad it was, and see, this is what happened, and those, I don't know what type of language I'm allowed to use on your show, so I'll refrain from
using that. You can use any language. We're uncensored.
I'll use the word fag, you know, like they were using that word, and I can just remember, like, just realizing that I was like Rock Hudson, and, you know, here I am in Montana, and I just, there wasn't really anybody that I knew of that was like me. And so I can just remember really struggling and really, you know, hating myself at that point, because you know you're like this, and you hear everybody saying all these bad things about you, and you're not really sure what to do about it, or and you question yourself, well, why am I like this?
So, well, how old were you when you realized? Because I was like you, I went to Catholic school my whole life. I didn't know any gay people. I didn't even know what it was. So when did you realize what was going on?
I knew that I was attracted to other guys or boys, whatever, since the time I was three. Like, I have a very distinct memory at 3 years old of being attracted to my neighborhood, my neighbor boy. My neighbor.
Hey.
Whatever. And,
The whole neighborhood, very nice, me too.
Yeah. I always knew, but I thought it was something that would go away, or that I could definitely pray away, or that I didn't have to acknowledge. It was something that I just tried to shut off and stay away from. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way.
No.
Right.
So, anyways, getting back to my breakdown, so, you know, just for me, the struggle was always like, I don't know, you know, just, I just kept continuing to hear that I was bad and that I was wrong and this, that, and the other. And I thought, well, once I get out of middle school, it'll be different in high school. And I thought, well, once I get out of high school, it'll be different, I'll be in college. And then I still heard the same shit in college. And so then I was like, okay, well, once I get out of college and I get into the real world, I won't have to listen to any of this stuff. And then you get into the real world and people are still calling you a fag and people are still making fun of you and, you know, still making you feel bad about yourself. And you have all these preachers on TV like Joel Osteen or Pat Robertson spewing their crap about it's not right in the eyes of God and hate the sin, but whatever they say. hate the sin, but love the sinner kind of thing, whatever it is. So, you know, you keep hearing that, and eventually it adds up. And for me, I did everything in my power to have what we consider to be God to change me. And unfortunately, it didn't work, and it just led me to have a nervous breakdown. And it was a really scary, traumatic experience to feel like you're losing your mind. And to sort of be on the fence, like I really do understand what it's like sometimes when you see homeless people and they're kind of speaking to imaginary people. You know, I was kind of on that fence. Like, I understood, like, if I kept going, I could probably potentially literally lose my mind.
Right.
And so luckily I got help when I needed help. And, you know, I did try to kill myself. I thought about it quite often. It was something that I struggled with for a long time. And, you know, I know, unfortunately, that other people still struggle with that. And that's why I get so very upset with religious leaders and even people within our own government that still continue to bash gay people because they don't realize that, you know, it just takes that little comment, and that little comment could throw somebody off a bridge, could cause them to shoot themselves in the head. You know, it could do a lot of damage. So, you know, I hope people hear what I've been through and that they know that there is hope and that there is opportunity. Unfortunately, like a guy I knew, he was a photographer here in Hollywood who was gay, and he struggled with depression and alcoholism, but also with being gay. And he recently committed suicide just a few days before Christmas. So even after, you know, it's just not adolescence. It's people that go into their adulthood. You know, we think we're done with the darkness, and unfortunately it still might be there. So anything I can do to help alleviate that for people, I hope they hear my story and that I can help guide them maybe in some direction.
Right. So obviously you mentioned you got help. For someone who's feeling that way or is on that edge, you know, what was it? What was the turning point for you to where you said, you know, was it therapy? Was it family? Was there a moment that changed things for you?
Well, I can just remember I was just driving down the street one day, and I just, you know, I just thought, I really felt myself losing my mind. I was in Los Angeles, and I just, you know, I just said, God, I'm sorry. It was the whole me trying to pray the gay away stuff. You know, I just really thought this was going to happen, and I just was coming to the realization this isn't going to change. And I just said, Lord, I can't do this anymore, and I just need to get help. And so I drove myself to Cedars-Sinai emergency room and spent some time there. But I decided it would be more important for me to go home and spend time with go to a hospital that's closer to my family. So I left the hospital and I jumped on a plane and went to the hospital. The turning point just was like I just couldn't take it anymore. I was tired of hating myself. I was tired of being depressed. I was tired of letting other people dictate who I need to be.
Good for you.
And so, you know, it was just kind of that kind of thing. But it wasn't like this magical moment. It was like, I mean, I had months and years of trying to get myself back to what I think is a normal level of functioning in the world. It wasn't, you know, this whole gay reparative therapy is extremely damaging. And I don't care what anybody says or what kind of stuff that they put out there as far as scientific evidence on one side. It is extremely damaging to your mental psyche. And anybody that says differently is fooling themselves. And I think we're pretty clear now that it doesn't work. I just, you know, if people out there are involved in that, I just really want them to know that they are 100% perfect the way that they are. And people telling you differently is completely bogus. And I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry that these types of things exist, because they create a lot of damage. As a gay person, sometimes you're already damaged as it is because, like I said, when you're growing up, you hear all these bad things. So you automatically think you're bad, and then you think you're getting help, but the help that you think you're getting, they're continuing to tell you you're bad. They're not helping you accept yourself. So it's, I don't know, it's a vicious circle.
Right.
And it's a very dark, dark circle.
Wow. Thank you for being so honest. You know, it definitely is a sign of strength in my mind, in my heart, when I hear someone being so honest about a very vulnerable time, because you obviously,
absolutely.
I mean, we saw, I've known you for so long, but when we saw you at Morph Economy, it was obvious the love the fans have for you. I mean, there was an auditorium filled from the front to the back for David. Like, it was amazing to watch. So for you to be so honest is such a beautiful thing, because I don't even know if you know the magnitude of what your words and your experience is doing for other people. I know you as a personal friend, so I love you. But like them, I know that they hold on sometimes to every word we say, and that's, it's such a beautiful thing for you to be so honest about everything.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a caller. I want to take, no problem. We have a caller. Her name is Ophelia. Hi, Ophelia. She's calling from Singapore.
Wow.
Hello. Yeah, hi. I just want to say that I've been a fan. The last time when my Team of Power Ranger was on, I was a teenager, and now I'm over 30 years old. But I've never forgotten my Team of Power Rangers, and I've been waiting for each individual's actors, like whether what project they are on, and I try to watch them. And now Amy
okay.
J. Johnson is at the Flashpoint, so I'm quite
yeah.
happy to see that some of them have advanced in their career, and I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, did you have a question for David?
No, I just want to call and say that I have been a fan, I've always been a fan, and that's all I want to say.
Aw, well,
thank you so much. Thank you for a fan of Power Rangers, and I might have a little surprise for everybody towards the end of the show regarding Amy Jo Johnson.
Ooh, we're interested.
Wow. Oh, how are you going to steal my thunder? Okay, me and you, we're going to have words at Kentucky, homeboy.
Just show him a bottle of wine, David, and he'll forget what he was going to say. One of the people in the chat room, they had asked earlier in the week, they said, if you were able to write, produce, and direct an episode of Power Rangers, what would it be about?
Huh. Well, I did, when I was on Power Rangers, I did, here's my dark side, I did write an episode. I found it the other day, and I was reading it, and it was an episode about Billy, of course, because maybe I was narcissistic at that time.
Hey,
and
you gotta get
the
camera
time. Yeah, exactly. But anyways, it was like sort of giving Billy's backstory about his mother and how Billy never had a mother. She was never established on the show.
Mm-hmm.
She had, in my mind, she had died of cancer when she was 7 years old. I mean, when he was 7 years old, which I thought might be, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there who have lost their parents, so I thought it might be something that would be relevant to some kids. And so I wrote
Absolutely.
This episode about how Billy's mom had passed away of cancer, and I don't remember if it's Lord Zedd or Rita Repulsa creates a monster that's called the Transformation Monster. And
mm-hmm.
This monster can transform into anything it wants, and it transformed into Billy's mother and appeared before Billy. And
oh,
was
wow.
talking to Billy and really, you know, kind of messed with Billy's head. And so Billy
wow.
kind of lost himself a little bit, and he decides he's going to go off on his own, and he's going to take care of Lord Zedd for once and for all. So he manages somehow to transport himself into Zedd's chamber, and
mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the team has to kind of come and help
mm-hmm.
get Billy out, because once you're in Lord Zedd's chamber, you can't teleport out. So it was like having to figure this way to get out and all this kind of stuff. So it was a really dark. I think I presented it for one of the.
You're dealing with some demons.
I think I did send it to. I gave it to one of the producers on the show, and they were just like, I don't know that that's, you know, it's a good episode, but I don't know that it's really right for kids' television. So,
you know what, though? I bet you anything they would have done it now. Like, in today's time, it wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, probably. I was rereading
yeah.
it the other day, and I really liked it. I was like, wow, this is pretty good. Again, being narcissistic, as I am. Thinking I'm such a great writer. But,
I love it.
Yeah. So that would probably be the episode. I mean, I thought it was fun and exciting and scary and everything at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah. I love that. I like that kind of an episode. Well, you know what? Let's take some more callers because they've been waiting for quite a while. This person's actually been waiting the entire show. Hey, caller, what is your name and where are you calling from? Hi.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Eric.
Hi, Eric. Do you have a question for David?
I do. I was wondering, I know your schedule is kind of hectic and whatnot, but is there ever a chance that you might visit Indiana and maybe do a meet and greet in Indy or Bloomington?
I don't have anything scheduled along those lines right now. I know I am going to be speaking, this is a whole different state, in Illinois. At the University of Illinois. But I'm just trying to think, if I had anything in, I mean, nothing is scheduled in Indiana right now. There's always possibly opportunities for me to make my way out that way. But, you know, I don't know how far you're willing to travel to go to different cons that might be a few hours away from you. That might be the best way. I'll try to post on my Facebook page or on Twitter, like all the different cons that I'll be attending this year. And then maybe you'd be able to find one that might be close to you.
Awesome. We did get another question a few days ago where a fan was asking if you liked getting fan mail, or have you kind of stepped away from it? And if you do like getting fan mail, where can they send stuff so that they can, like, write you and maybe request autographs and those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, I love fan mail. I get fan mail all the time. I mean, what a lot of people do now is just direct message me on, or private message me on Facebook, and I will answer you. Sometimes it'll be immediate. Sometimes it might not be for 1 or 2 months. I apologize.
so, not that I would know anything about that.
So, I'm not trying to avoid people. It's just there's times where I sit down because, you know, I'll read them, but then to really go back and answer them, it's like you really have to sit down and be prepared, and because I answer, like, a lot all at once.
Yeah.
So
that's
why sometimes it takes me a little while.
Yeah, and I was going to say, David is a busy man. Like, we'll say, okay, let's have lunch. And, I mean, it'll be like 3 weeks later, we finally coordinate schedules and we're able to do it. And it's just like, okay, we got an hour, we got a two-hour window. And it's just, it's so busy, especially, you know, working in the industry. We've got another caller. She's actually someone who is one of our favorites. Hey, Bree, how are you?
Hello. My question for David is, okay, I have hydrocephalus, and so I have always wanted to learn how to do flips and stuff, and so I figured I'd ask you this question since you're in get gymnastics and stuff. And so would it be best for a person who wants to learn how to do flips and stuff, like if they have stuff that has to do with, like, head injury and stuff, would it be best if they use a helmet?
I would say absolutely 100% yes.
Yeah.
And depending on how you decide to learn how to do flips, I mean, probably the best way now would be to find a gym that has a trampoline, and along with the trampoline, they strap you in, and then you sort of learn how to flip that way. I would say that's probably the safest way.
Right.
But when I was growing up doing gymnastics, we didn't really have any of that, and there were plenty of times where I hit my head. So I would hate for you to hit your head, you know, if it's going to cause you further injury or stuff like that. Always protect yourself, always.
Consult your doctor.
Yeah.
You know?
Ask the doctor, baby.
We need Bree in our lives.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay,
go ahead,
David. I am a firm believer that blondes have more fun. Now, I know you're on my team with this, so I need to know, what are some of the fun things that you do to amuse yourself on the set?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna.
You're a dirty blonde.
I thought she was gonna be like, you know, you've gone back and forth between having blonde hair and streak. You know, I thought you were gonna make fun of me on that.
Half blonde for a while.
Yeah, I had skunk hair. I had skunk hair.
We all did. It's okay.
It was so in style. No one thought of it that way.
What are some of the fun things I like to do on set? Was that your question?
Yes. How do you amuse yourself?
I probably, you know, this is probably one of my biggest faults, I guess, in life, is that I'm a very serious person when it comes to work and work ethic. And so, like, maybe I don't have as much fun as I should on set.
Because
I'm just focused on doing I'm just focused on doing
wow.
And so
you're so well.
Sorry, I'm funny over
it's not
here.
That It's not that I didn't have fun and enjoy people's practical jokes and stuff like that, and it's not that I didn't chime in on them, but, you know, I just really enjoy working on set and as an actor, and so I was just always focused in that sense. So it's not that I don't have fun and play around, but I like to have fun outside of work.
You know, speaking of fun on the set, right before you came on with us, Karen, James, and I were having a little discussion. Now, are you the one that likes peanut butter and fly sandwiches?
Oh, yeah, I love them. They're my favorite.
I thought Dylan Frank did that to Steve. I didn't know he did that to you. That's horrible.
Oh, yeah. It's gross, like, when you think about it. And but, you know, I didn't know it was in there, and I ate it. So, whatever.
Oh! Okay,
I mean, you
watch
it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I just say you watch shows like Survivor and the crap that they have to eat. So, I mean, it's really not that big of a deal.
Right.
Okay. Well, before we get another caller, I've got to know, can you tell us an embarrassing story about Karen? Because she told us some about you. You
yes,
just didn't know.
I've never told an embarrassing story about him.
I don't know that I have any embarrassing stories about Karen. Karen was a good girl.
I do have
a picture that she would hate if I posted.
Please post. I'll pay
I sent
you.
It to her. I sent it to her, and she was mortified. But it's like when we went out to do the movie, and the original helmets like didn't have mouthpieces. They painted our face silver, like our mouth area silver. And so I have a picture of Karen just sitting there with her silver makeup on, and it just looks ridiculous. And
it does. You can post it. I'm not easily embarrassed.
Yep, no chance.
David, are you the one that has the photo of her getting sick while they were doing the skydiving?
Remember when I was growing up, when we were on, I was on the, I think it has to be Jason Frank, but I was up on
it's
the ropes just- and yeah, and I was, like, throwing up in a bucket.
Well, David, I just want to say, if you get your hands on that photo, I'm willing to pay a lot of money.
Me too.
On the throw-up photo, I can arrange that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
But what's
the one? I think it's time to take a call. I'm just joking. Yeah, they want to see me like not so serious. Like they want to catch me, you know. That's why they want an embarrassing moment. I keep telling them, like, you know, I didn't really do much. I was actually pretty boring. If I could do it all over again, that's one thing I probably would do, is probably enjoy that moment more than I did, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, let's take another caller. Hello, Tommy. How are you, Tommy?
Fine.
Hi, you have a question for David?
Yes. What was it like being, okay, in Power Rangers Zeo, when the aging thing happened to him? What was it like? I mean, what was the situation going on of you not being a ranger? Why did the producers decide to not make you a ranger again?
Well, I don't
Ooh,
know that I...
Ooh, scandal. Scandal.
I don't know that I have the answer for that, honestly. Other than, you know, I know that the creator, Haim Saban, always liked the idea of, like, what they do in Japan, and that's always switching the cast every year,
mm-hmm.
and which he does do now. But, you know, I think... it kind of led itself to that. And yes, I was getting older and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure maybe that played a part into it as well. But I honestly don't have the answer as to why they didn't continue my character on as a Power Ranger in Zeo. That would be something to ask them, not me.
Yeah.
I just was there to say my line and hit my mark.
That's right.
You know, and
wow.
When we've talked about it with Karen, like when they switched the three people out,
yes.
What was going on behind the scenes? Like, was it chaotic? Was there fighting? How bad really was it?
I don't think it was chaotic, and I don't remember. There was no fighting. It was just like three actors stood their ground for what they believed they should get, and the production company didn't agree, and they were just released to their contracts. And, I mean, it was never crazy or chaotic. It was just like one day they were there and one day they weren't there. And then we shut down production, so to speak, and we did a casting search for three new people, and the three new ones came in. But I don't – there was never any craziness. It was
like
the hour, on
like,
level.
Who are these new bitches? Like, you know.
David was actually so super nice. I remember our first day on set, we had a wardrobe fitting, and he came up to the set because he heard we were going to be there just to meet us. Like, one-on-one, like, without everybody around, and he was so super nice. That's what I remember.
Well, I'm glad you remember that.
You don't remember. Yeah. Because
that was the one and only time I was ever nice. Otherwise, I was a total bitch.
Right. Then he was like, these bitches.
I knew it.
Yeah,
if you want
David
to be
was
nice,
always nice.
You could do a new version of Temptation Island, and it could be me and all of the straight male rangers on one island.
Oh God!
Temptation Island, Ranger Slayer edition.
Ranger Slayer edition. Yeah. I think it's time to take another call.
It could be a gold mine on Nickelodeon.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Nate, how are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing great, guys. My question is for Dave. How you doing, by the way? And,
I'm good. Thank you, Nate.
And also, I was wondering, how did it feel to play a bully in the episode of Ranger Punk, Punk Ranger, on season one, yeah, where you and Kimberly became under some sort of spell, you guys turn, like, bad, like, rebels and stuff. How did it feel to transition to that character? And also, I was wondering if you could give a shout-out to Morphin Legacy, Tiny Chat. They're watching right now, so I was wondering if you could do that as well.
Okay. Well, first part, it was obvious. It's fun, obviously. I mean, they did this a lot with Amy Jo and I in the first season. It seemed like they let our characters kind of be different things. And so, mm-hmm, obviously, it's fun to be something different than just intellectual Billy that nobody understands. So it was fun to break. It was fun to break character and to be kind of mean and be kind of a jerk and get to beat up Bulk. I don't know if that was that. I'm pretty sure it was in that episode. Like, I kind of pushed Bulk around a little bit. So it's fun to do that. And I'm gonna. Did you guys put him on mute? Because I need. I didn't catch the full name.
Oh,
of...
yeah, you know what? I can grab him back. Hey, Nate, who is a shout-out to?
It's to this chat page that's listening right now. It's called Morphin Legacy's Tiny Chat, and I want to see if you can give a shout-out to them right now.
Sure. So, Hey, Morphin Legacy, here's a shout-out. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to Uncensored Radio, and I hope you're enjoying your time, and thank you for listening, I guess.
Yeah, you say shout-out makes me giggle.
Because I got my street cred. I'm shouting.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I love it. He said shout-out.
Karen's giving him street cred.
I have given him street cred. I've told him how to, you know, I've taught him a lot of words. David knows how to dance. David, you want me to tell
you
the dance you do with the broom?
Yep.
What?
Karen taught me all kinds of stuff. She hooked me up.
So we should have him come be our dance instructor on Uncensored Reality? Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely.
Okay, so before we go on any farther and we take any more questions, I'm going to do a little surprise for everybody right now. So I'm walking into a house, and I'm going to have somebody else give a little shout-out to everybody.
Oh, nice.
Fine. Let's see here. Where's Amy Jo? Where's Amy Jo? Hey, Amy Jo, say hi.
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 How are you, Amy? How to say my name. No, I'm just kidding. Hi.
How's it going, girl? I haven't talked to you in forever. Yeah.
Hey, Karen.
How's it going?
Hang on, I can't hear you. Hi, Karen.
Okay.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You don't even understand. The fans are probably going berserk. We've got so many people listening. yeah. You have to come on one day. How are you?
I know
you're a mom now, and how's life?
Life is fantastic. How's your life?
It's great. We have to catch up.
Oh, my God. We had so much fun in Australia, me and you.
We did. We used to go get our tarot cards read all the time. We had so much fun. Like, we made friends, and we were just all over that city. Wow.
Okay, David just wanted me to say hi. All right.
Yeah, well,
you know what?
Yes, thank you for saying hello.
Tell me how to get in touch with you. I want to talk to you and hang out with you.
Absolutely. Are you back in L.A.?
No. Oh, well, for 4 days. And then I'm going back home.
Okay. Well, when you're back, let me know, and we'll do it.
Okay. Here's
Bye.
David. Bye.
Agent. Ouch. She hit me on the app.
I hope everybody's surprised that we got to talk to Amy Jo Johnson, too. So it's kind of...
I know, that's very sweet. You don't even understand. The fans are going bonkers in the chat room. They are going bonkers. So thank you, David. I was totally trying
to pull that surprise on you two, trying to hunt this girl down, finding who she really is on, like, Facebook and Twitter, trying to surprise you two, and you did it to us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so we only have about 13 minutes left. I want to take as many callers as possible because I know they're dying to ask you questions. So we're going to speed through these calls. Okay, David?
Sounds great.
Let's see. We have got Brandon on the line. Brandon, you have a question for David?
Am I boogieing with a bear?
Yeah, you are, baby.
That's right. All right.
You got a question for David?
Can I ask two?
You can ask one.
Make them quick,
we got like 24 callers waiting.
Okay. So, David, I got to say, what was the process like for you kind of developing the character of Billy? Because, like, at the beginning, it's like, you know, he was like, the nerdy guy, but then he got more more casual, more popular, kind of more a leader type. You know, how did you as an actor kind of put that forward? Like, you know, how was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I just wanted Billy to progress as a human being, and I just think, you know, I just wanted to switch him up every chance I got a little bit just to help him grow so that he wasn't just such a narrow, one-dimensional character. And so, you know, he's always going to be intelligent, he's always going to be smart, and you know, but it doesn't mean that he can't have other interests, like being more physical and being more challenged in other ways. And having, I think he had like 8 or 9 girlfriends, so he was pretty crazy. But I just really, as an actor, enjoyed playing him and enjoyed getting to go on the ride with him to see where he ended up. So, you know, I did have some influence on that, but it was also the writers and the producers as well.
Right. Okay, so we have another caller on the line. His name is Jeremy. Hold on, if I get Jeremy on the line. Hey, Jeremy, you have a question for David?
Hi, Karen.
Hi,
Karen.
How are you?
Good.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, David, I was at MorphCon. It was a pleasure to meet you. I know no one really talks about the movie suits that often, so how were they, and what, besides being in the movie, what's your favorite movies?
The movie suits were extremely heavy, but they were, I thought, kick-ass. I thought they looked really cool.
Oh, they looked awesome.
So, I mean, that was great. But, yeah, they were really a pain to put on and to wear and all that kind of stuff. And the second question is, what is my favorite movie? Is that what it was?
Yeah. What's your favorite movie?
Well, I have a lot, but the one, this is really going to make me sound like a gay guy, but the one that I like the most is a movie called Terms of Endearment. And I can watch that movie how many times, and I cry every time.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's a great movie, though. That's a classic. Okay, we've got Adam on the line. Adam, what is your question for David Yost?
Am I on?
Yes, you're on. Hello.
Oh, hi. Hi, David. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Aubrey. My question is, in the movie, how to feel the change suits, like from like nylon spandex to like plastic.
I thought it was great because it's so embarrassing to wear spandex because I have like really skinny chicken legs, and so like when we got to wear the movie suits, it made it look like I had really muscular legs, and it was so much better. So thank you for that question.
I agree. Spandex is like very like, it's like walking around in your underwear. Like it just was not cool.
Y'all look fine to me, okay? I just watched it. Y'all look fine.
Yeah, you get like self-conscious, I guess, you know. But we have another call. Hello, Nicholas.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You have a question for David Yost?
Yes.
What is that?
I know there must have been like a lot of fun times on set, but like, what were like your least favorite times on set? Like, what stuff did you like hate doing?
Good question.
What stuff did I hate doing? I hated doing voiceovers. when we'd have to go into a booth and like when you see us in costume and we're fighting, we'd have to go in there and go, and make those kind of noises. I don't know. I was very self-conscious doing that. And, I shouldn't say I hated it. It was obviously part of the job, but I don't know. I just liked being on set and being around the cameras and all that kind of stuff. I enjoyed that a lot more than going into a booth and doing voiceovers.
Right. So I have a question. What's on your iPod right now? Like, what do you like listening to?
I was looking at that the other day, and I really I like a lot of Rihanna, and I question that. And
why do you question it? You're funny, man.
And, like, I'm not going to say people's names right, but is it Tao Cruz or something like that? How do you say his name? Tao Cruz. And Usher. And I don't know. I was like, wow, I really like some weird music.
R&B?
No, it's not weird. It's
music.
But
party music.
I like all the remix versions of their songs. So it's, like, more dancey type stuff.
Housey.
Like club
stuff.
Housey, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, who knew? Well,
I'd
have
fun. Who knew? I got my street. I told you I got my street cred, girl. So.
David is high on the list with street cred. Man, this is awesome. You know, we got another call. Jennifer Richard, how are you, Jennifer?
I'm good, Karen. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Do you have a question for David?
Yes, I do.
What
David, how did you get started in the whole Power Ranger routine?
The routine as far as the TV show?
I think she's talking maybe the choreography. Is that what you're talking about, Jennifer, the choreography? Or, like, what do you mean?
Basically, like, all the moves and stuff.
Oh, the choreography.
Well, we work with a stunt coordinator and our stunt people, and, they choreograph a fight sequence for us, and we just learn the moves, and we go through it, and we film it on camera. It's very stylized and very safe, and, you know, things look like we're hitting each other, but we really aren't hitting each other. It's all done with camera angles and cheating things.
Right, we try not to hit each other.
Had Steve ever tried to choke you and teach you how to get out of that?
Steve? No. I mean, Jason Frank for sure. But Steve, I would have kicked Steve's ass.
I don't know, David. He was tough. He had his hands around my throat. I was afraid for my life.
No,
you know what we did, David? on the reality show, we took a class with Steve, one of his jiu-jitsu classes, and he showed us how to get out of a chokehold.
And then they put my fat ass in yoga. It was like hell on earth.
Yoga is awesome.
I passed out. I just collapsed.
And you know Steve's girlfriend, she was like, it looked like somebody walked in and threw a bucket of water on each one of us. Like, we were dying. And the yoga class was only like 10 minutes long. It was a riot. It was a riot. Like, there's no reason why it should have been so difficult for all of us.
And let me clarify, so people don't think, like, I'm bagging on Steve. Steve lives two blocks away from me. We're extremely good friends, and I think he's an amazing teacher. He is. I've taken classes with him, and he would for sure kick my ass if it really came down to it. So.
I don't know, Dave. You and your street cred, my money's on you now. my money is on you. Okay, so we only have 4 minutes before the show ends. Scott, you're on the line. You have a question for David?
Yeah, hi, David. I was wondering if you've ever realized that it's been art imitating life as far as you starting in front of the camera and then moving behind the scenes by working with Adult Swim and stuff, like how Billy was on the battlefield as the Blue Mighty Morphin Ranger and then moved to the command center for Zeo.
I haven't honestly thought about it in that term.
Who knew?
But I can see what you're going for. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
So thank you for pointing that out to me.
I know, right? Who thought of that? I never even thought. Okay, Kevin, how are you, Kevin? You're on the line with David Yost. Do you have a question?
Yes. Sadly, in 2001, we lost the original Yellow Ranger. So I was hoping you could honor her memory by sharing with us some of your best memories of the late Tui Trang.
Oh,
great question.
Yeah, it's a great question. Tui was just so beautiful in real life. I mean, she's beautiful on screen, but when you saw her in person, she was just stunning. And she had an amazing laugh, and I enjoyed working with her greatly. She was a lot of fun. So I have a picture of her. She's always doing her hair. So I have a picture of her, like, spraying hairspray in her hair, and I see that picture all the time when I go through my some of my Power Rangers stuff, and it just makes me laugh because she's always doing her hair.
Aw. Well, David, I thank you. That is a great way to end the interview. I thank you for coming on. Thank you for surprising us with Amy Jo. I know the fans are – even more in love with you for doing that for them. Over the, you know, course of, gosh, it's been since 95 that we met, and you have always been such a great friend to me. And now, you know, that I'm getting into producing and you've been even more better friend. You've been, giving me pep talks. You've always stayed positive. And I just really appreciate you being in my life. And I'm so glad you were able to come on Simpkid Radio.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on, and it's been a pleasure, and, you know, I would love to come back some other time and talk more. And thank you to all of the fans out there. Yeah, and thanks to everybody that's listening and that is going to be listening in the future, I guess, but thanks for being in the chat room and talking and asking me questions. I greatly appreciate it, and, you know, you can message me on Facebook or on Twitter, and I'll try to answer as quickly as possible.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you,
so
David.
Much. Have a great night.
You guys, too. I'm going to go eat dinner with Amy Jo now.
All right.
Have fun.
Give her a big hug for me.
I will.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. David Yost. That was awesome.
Can we get a round of applause or something?
Yeah, let's get a round of applause. Do we know where the applause is?
I don't even know where it's at. I got it.
Yeah.
So that was totally like a little mini reunion. You, David, and Amy Jo. How cute.
I know. See, he's funny. He totally surprised us.
I know.
Here
that
you are trying to pull one over me.
I know. I'm going to get him in Lexicon. I'm getting him a peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, I think he probably will never eat peanut butter and jelly again.
I just like that I get to go listen to the show on demand now because I didn't hear any of the interview.
Oh, poor James.
Well, you're going to love it, James. You're going to love it.
Aww.
You did such a great job, James. We took like 12, 13 callers. So, people, I wish we could have taken more callers. But, you know, obviously David has dinner plans. And, you know, our show's not very long. But guess what's coming up next? We have got the fans taking over. AMC Press is going to continue the show, continue the party, and probably break down the whole David Yost and surprise appearance from Amy Jo. Like, they're going to talk about it all. So, you guys, stay tuned for more Uncensored Radio, and the fans are taking over. So, hey, fans, guys, I hope you guys don't talk about us too bad.
Just
tell us.
Did Amy Jo call in? Because, like, I never saw anything pop up.
No, she didn't call in. David, I guess she was at David's house, and he put her on the phone. Don't worry, gang. Don't worry. You're going to hear it all.
What?
Did you hear that sigh? That was, like, the most, like, oh, I missed her sigh.
It was so pain.
Oh, I love my job, but really?
So what'd you think, Jeffrey? You've been waiting for that interview for a long time.
I know. Well, I'm just excited. I want everybody to know that all the guests in the chat room or the people that are first time listening, if you like the Power Rangers, Karen Ashley right here, she's a host on the show. We're here 5 nights a week. So come back every night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Go follow us on Twitter at Uncensored Radio. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/Uncensored Radio. Check out our website, My Uncensored Radio. And, hey, while you're there listening to the show on demand, click some ads, will you? We're trying to raise some cash follow up in this piece. We love you. Have a good night. Coming up next, the fans take over.
Fans take over. Oh, and if you want to buy pictures, I get messages all the time, people wanting pictures. Go to my Facebook page, Official Karen Ashley, or my Twitter, at Karen Ashley, and all the information is there on how you get fan autographed pictures. Bye, everybody!
That's right. Oh, do we got music?
We got music. There it goes. Woo!
Oh, dear.
Over. I'm here.
Okay. Where's the fans? You guys can take over now. Where's the rest of you?
Oh, I'm waiting for Allison to show up.
Oh, dear.
I'm in. I can see the
right,
room.
James,
so
are you
worry.
Here? You want to chat with Toku about what you missed? And I'll catch you guys on Monday.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you later, Jeffrey.
Okay, bye. Have fun.
Bye.
Okay, come on, Allison. Hurry up. Hurry up, Allison. Do you want me to just call in as host?
We're good, actually. For all you people that are still hanging out, thank you. You guys are awesome. Everyone that called into the show tonight, it was a great show. I wish I could have heard all of it, but I was screening people, so I didn't get to really listen to it. So I get to listen to it on demand. But we got Jennifer Richards here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Kind of forgot that she was here. So I do apologize.
Oddball Extreme, I'm going to top the ones that I recognize right now.
Okay.
Ah, there we go. Hi.
Got him.
This is Heather.
I am in the screening room, James, just so you know.
All right.
So I can see what's going on. Once I see Allison pop up, we'll be good.
Well, let's officially introduce it. Now that everyone's on the line, you know, with the exception of Allison, you're listening to AMC Press on Uncensored Radio, The Fans Takeover, starring Toku, Jennifer Richards, Heather Ray, Oddball Supreme, which I believe is Shirley.
Bingo.
But you guys have a good time. Take it away. I would love to stay and hang out with y'all, but I have some stuff that I have to do, so I need to go.
Oh,
but you guys have a good
well.
We'll listen to this bad man.
That's fine with me. If we're on live, we're ready to rock.
You're live.
Yep.
You guys have a good one.
Yep. All right, so guys, sorry, we don't have our normal switchboard, so we're not used to the switchover yet. Let us, give us a couple weeks. We'll get used to it, you know? You can't,
oh, yeah.
You can't get, we're used to our screening room.
Exactly.
You can always teach an old dog new tricks.
Yep, well, that's what I'm going to be doing with now, so.
You can teach an old dog new tricks, or you can just put them down.
Hey, I'm not going to be put down that easily. Anyway, getting into the topic, first off, I was waiting in the screening room for a while because I wanted to say something after Kat had to put her little statement in. And here's my thing that I'm going to say about that. If Kat were on a Temptation Island with all the Power Rangers, I don't think there would be any more Power Rangers left.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be scared for their safety, so just saying. Let's see. Waiting. Yeah, we're still waiting. Anyway, so here we go. Yeah, okay, so we have a bunch of stuff we discuss on our show. In fact, on AMC Press, one of our big things is what's called Toku's Rant. That's when I tend to go into berserker mode.
Yep.
But
And
they usually come randomly, don't they, guys?
Yes.
Yep.
Randomly?
So we're going to get ready for that. And our esteemed head is in. Hello, Allison.
Hi.
So, now, here's one thing I want to mention for everyone. And I know it's a little bit weird, but we mention a lot of tech news because we do care about people on our show. And right now, I care enough to tell everyone about Facebook allowing you to search by phone number. And, I don't think anyone wants that. So, you should just look at your settings to change them.
And I'm sorry.
Right.
Hear my neighbors. They're coming up the stairs and they're just being really loud. So, sorry about that.
So, alright, guys. I wish we had our music. Guess we're going to have to bother James for that one later. But we do have a topic, and that is Week in Review. The idea of this episode is to review the UCR in its entirety for the week. So, I think we should start with the most recent. David, everyone chime in.
It was really great. I actually got to speak to him for like a few minutes and ask my question and get out. So, he's a good guy.
It was great to listen to him talking, and when he said that Amy Jo was there, I was like, oh my god, yeah!
It was definitely it was definitely very interesting.
It was.
Yeah, and I know I had a chance to meet him at a local convention, and it was great that he came on to UCR.
So yeah, I see James is kind of... We're going to figure stuff out as we go, but yeah, right now, as it stands, we're kind of new to the UCR side of things, so understand, right now, we don't have our normal screening room. We're not used to this. We got more music than we've ever seen. but we're missing my favorite song. James! No, actually, we have a bunch of different tunes we do on our show. We have the Angry Video Game Nerd for Fun.
Yes.
We have Change, which I think, honestly, for those that don't know and those that don't listen, here's your chance to get in with us. AMC Press is a group of friends. Right now, I'll tell you right now, as far as I know, most of us have some kind of hindrance, would be a good term. Mm-hmm. We all have a disability. I have a disability, autism. I know Allison has autism. It's just, we're a bunch of friends that get together and have fun. That's where we come in. And we'll put our own spin on it based on the fact that we have these limitations in life. So,
that's true.
Yeah. So I guess that's where our side is going to spin a little bit differently. And, yeah, we agree a lot with UCR in general, but that disability is going to be causing us to have somewhat different opinions at times.
And I will be posting several links, about four links in the chat room. If you guys really want to join us, these are our Facebook links. I think we have Twitter. I've got to look that up.
Yes, we do.
I'm also going to be posting the, what is it? The blog, too. I'm sorry. I'm just not with it today. I've had the flu, even though I got the shot. So.
Yeah. We're on every night. We're on usually 2 hours after UCR. So, come on, join us. We love having company.
Don't be afraid.
If Lala was here, she'd have a statement to say to that. Oh, wait, isn't she here?
She's in the chat.
I thought I put her in the room.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's here. Hold on one second. But yeah, so here's the deal, guys. Everyone remember what yesterday was talking about? Honestly, it got broken up so many times by Karen accidentally answering me. That was funny. Karen,
yeah.
You scared me when you did that.
Yes, she did that to me, I think, twice? No, once.
Yeah,
so. Did it to you twice.
But I understand.
She hasn't done it to me yet, so.
But, yeah. So, we like to have a lot of fan interaction. So don't be afraid in the chat room to say something. I'm camping out right now. Well, I was. I was camping in there as co-host, and going back in as co-host, I think. But yeah, we've been running our show for about 80 episodes now.
Yep.
Oh, well, actually, it's almost 90 now. I lose track.
Yeah, we seem to lose track with how many people we had on the show as well, too.
Yeah.
Which were,
well, and let's give a couple of examples of people we've had on our show, guys. I mean, we try to get Power Ranger people, too. You guys had, UCR had David Yost today. You guys are gods, I will say right now. You guys could get people I would only dream of. we've had people on our show, though, like Ron Wasserman, the person who did the original theme song for Power Rangers. We had Lord Zedd on our show once. We've had Larry Kenny, who played in Thundercats. We've had so many different people. Last night's episode, we had, what was it?
Jordan Rivers.
Jordan Rivers.
Yes, she's an author.
Mm-hmm. So, we all get cool. So, well, I guess that's where I'm going to just kind of drop off and let Allison take over.
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
Well, why don't you tell them how AMC Press got started, Allison?
Okay, I started my blog has been around for 4 years, about. And last year, I had the idea to start a Blog Talk radio show. Definitely was an interesting experience, because of scheduling and all that lovely stuff. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just start it up. We are, and basically everyone who is a core of AMC Press is on here, with the exception of one member, or two, which... Everything, we are all trying to speak about entertainment news, different things that you would not hear on mainstream media. So, it's always fun. That's pretty much
right.
It in a nutshell.
Well, should we tell them a little bit about ourselves? To the listeners that don't really listen to AMC Press. So
sure.
Sounds good.
Allison, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself first?
Okay. I'm the founder and creator of AMC Press. I've been a fan of Power Rangers since I was 3. Read a lot of different anime mangas. I basically watch anything from E-News to whatever upcoming I'm basically the brains behind AMC Press. Sorry for rambling, just kind of a little nervous. Otherwise,
that's all right.
I'm pretty much a free spirit, so never know what will come out of my mouth.
Right.
Jennifer, do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh. Sure, guys, the ones that don't listen, I'm Jennifer. I'm basically the brains behind the music, the beats and everything that you hear when we come on the show. And I'm a little firecracker myself, so be warned, just don't tend to get anybody mad on this show. So,
y'all know me if you've been a fan of UCR. I'm Toku, the Venerable. And in AMC Press, I'm the person who likes to try and keep everyone safe online, and I'm the person who, at random moments, tends to go ballistic.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Heather. I've been with AMC Press for going on a year now, and I think I'm the oldest one of the bunch.
Yes, yeah.
I've enjoyed working with Allison and Frodo. I've also known as Toku. I met them 3 years ago, and we've been a team since then. I've been a fan of Power Rangers since it first came out, and I was 10 years old. If that tells you how old I am. I'm also an actress with our local theater troupe and a Special Olympian. Not afraid to tell it like it is. I'm a little bit outspoken sometimes and have to be dragged back by Allison, Toku, if they call it then. And all I can say about anime is I love anime. I grew up watching it from Unico. My favorite anime is Sailor Moon. And yes, I do feel like I know a lot of things about Sailor Moon, and if people tell me differently and tell me that there are some things that I don't know, I will prove them wrong.
Well, and quite honestly, any time we get into an anime discussion on our show, Miss Heather's the one going, Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon.
And that's Shirley, I think.
Yes, it is. Let me introduce myself. My name is Shirley. I joined AMC Press on my birthday, November 1st. And I actually met Frodo this past summer as a result of, let's just say, we became friends after we agreed to disagree against somebody else. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was true. We were a part of a group about bringing Tsunami back to Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was posting picture after picture after picture. And just in less than an hour, I had 60 freaking notifications. And it's like, God damn!
Mm-hmm.
And Shirley and I are basically a team in another group. We're in together on Thunder on Facebook. Called ThundercatFans.org. Yeah. Basically, if someone steps out of line, we basically team up and we say something.
Yeah. Let's just say it's got to do with that tune I'm not going to mention because I know it's a ripoff of Thundercats.
here's what I will say right now. Now that you know us, now that you know who AMC Press is made up of, we now openly invite you to our show as well. Now, we're not going to give up. We're not trying to take listeners. In fact, quite honestly, we want to share the same listeners that UCR has. Therefore, our show is 2 hours. It starts an hour after UCR. So come here, listen to UCR. Take an hour off, go goof off on the internet, come over, and let's party every day. Every Friday, we will be here after UCR, ready to have fun. So, now you know what we're going to be doing? Yeah.
Should we take some callers?
Go ahead.
Okay, if you guys want to call in and tell us what you think, the number is 323-417-6705, and I will be posting that down in the chat room, or you can call in on Skype, and we would love to hear from you guys. Okay.
So, everyone, you're talking at once now.
Well, you guys were mentioning about Larry Kenny being on the show. I'm actually listening to Larry Kenny's voice on The Best Week Ever right now.
Awesome.
Oh, Larry Kenny was another one we had on the show. He was
one
of our first ones.
No, he was our second.
Yeah, he was our second.
Anyway, so let's just, what do you guys think we should discuss about this week, besides for David?
Well, I was working on the blog earlier a lot. I was sick all day. I got the flu shot a couple days ago, and it's supposed to prevent the flu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, every time I get the shot, one would think I would learn this. I end up sick for a couple of days.
Yeah, usually the flu shot will give you a light version of a flu for a day or two, just because that's what it does. It's a weakened flu virus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Did you hear that the flu shot's in short demand places?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Well, I'm glad I'm one of the few people that never gets a flu shot. To me,
join the club, my friend.
I
don't either.
To me personally, I believe if I'm going to die of something as needy as the flu, so be it. Can't argue with destiny.
Very true.
Well, you know?
Well, I had the choice between the shot. Well, I thought I had the choice between the shot or getting it up the nose, which sounds weird now that I say that. Oh, well. But they have something now that you can inhale. They, it's kind of like, what is it, a nose inhalant to block out the flu. It's like the flu shot, only you take it up the nose.
Right.
And I thought I had the choice between the shot or that. And I found out that Medicaid, my Medicaid, would only cover the shots.
That I would, I know that I'm not really a big fan of shots, so I'm just, I try to avoid these flu shots at all costs.
Well, now our school has made it, I go to Ivy Tech Community College, and Ivy Tech has made it adamant that every student has to get the flu shot.
Mm.
You don't get the flu shot, you go into the next semester.
Oh, no, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's like people, it's like I remember I was hearing about people, employees in hospitals, if they refused to get a flu shot, they were fired.
Yeah.
To me, that just seems kind of out there because,
Love
I mean...
Radio.
Okay, who got into the show?
It's
Blog Talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Sorry for being late, guys. Mainly a little family situation problem, but that's
it's
taken care
good.
Of.
It's all good.
So what did I miss for the last couple of minutes?
Okay, everybody...
Well, I think that we need to mention who you are, Lala.
Yes.
mainly everybody, I'm LaShawna Brooks. Mainly everybody calls me Lala, but everybody knows from AMC Press, they all know my quote, and I'm not going to repeat it.
Well, we could always press Heather into repeating it.
Well, mainly go ahead, Heather.
What?
You always know my quote.
I'm distracted because we were talking about the Lord of Zed trailer in the chat room.
I'll say it.
By all means, Jen.
I'll say it loud and clear. If anyone fucks with her family, is the day she collects their fucking heads.
Bingo!
And then there's the We don't bite much.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't bite. We just nibble.
Nibble.
Much.
Wait a minute. Would everybody quit saying my quotes? That's mine.
Oh, goodness.
So many.
I'm going to get a license to that. I swear.
It's a patented quote.
Yeah. Uh-huh. To be with you. Guys, another family issue.
Every time someone says it, they'll have to pay me $5. Ha.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Sorry, Heather. I don't give money unless it's to help someone in a different situation. Oh, shit. That fucks me over now.
Wait a minute, you give money to different situations? Wait a minute, what about the floor push I'm getting ready to do?
I don't have any money in my checking account right now. Hey, being honest.
Yes, okay, to fill you guys in, I'm doing the polar plunge on February 9th if I raise enough money. Right now I've raised $25. I've been going knocking on doors here in my hometown and no one's wanting to donate. The polar plunge is where we just jumped into a big body of water raising money for Special Olympics.
And that's another thing she's passionate about right there.
Mm-hmm. I've been with the Special Olympics since I was 12 years old as an athlete, and recently, going on 2 years ago, I've become serious about becoming an athlete leader, which means I'm working to be a global messenger.
Nice.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So now we've got all, hopefully, at least for a week or two, all of the intros out of the way. Like I said earlier, Kat, you're just, if she did something like that, where it was a Temptation Island with her plus all the straight former Power Rangers, I don't think we'd have any more Power Rangers left.
Nope.
Definitely would be a new spin on a reality show.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I'd be concerned about the other Rangers myself.
What, being stranded alone with a single woman?
Did I say single woman? I said cat.
Okay.
I'm teasing.
Yes.
You know, you know what I mean, you guys.
Yes, we do.
And no, Kat, we're not being mean to you. You know we just give you crap all the time.
Kat and I, on Facebook, you can see us going back and forth about Hello Kitty because we both love Hello Kitty.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen the Hello Kitty at the Build-A-Bear Workshop.
Can I ask you a question, Heather?
Yes.
If I started, getting those wands that have Hello Kitty, the bubble wand, what would you do?
Send me a couple.
How about if I send you 100 so that you could just put them in front of a fan at your house and just blow them? Shit ton of Hello Kitty bubbles.
Oi.
You know, I could see you doing something like that.
Well, I got something interesting. Elton John is going to be coming here to Montgomery in March.
Ooh, awesome.
Here's the thing. We usually don't get big time stars in Montgomery. They're usually in Birmingham, Atlanta, Miami, Orlando. But the reason he's coming is to help revitalize our oldest venue, the Garrett Coliseum. It's in real need of repair.
Right. That's
so
good to hear, though.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go to this one because it's like, hey, I can finally go to a big concert and not have to drive all the way to Birmingham, Atlanta, and all those other places.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically all we get are has-beens. The last ones we've had Rick Springfield. We're supposed to get Kenny Rogers next month.
Kenny Rogers, I think he was here a few years ago. I live in Indiana, and I think he was here in Indianapolis at one of our buildings. I'm not too sure.
What are you talking about? I thought we were in the UCR studio and parts unknown, you guys. You know, our show, we're all spread out. UCR, we kind of had to travel a little bit.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I'm, like I said, well, you probably just heard, I am down south in Montgomery, Alabama.
Traveling, I would love to travel.
Same here.
I would too.
Oh, God, that's funny. Oh, boy, people. So what's, oh, boy.
a little bit.
We usually need it. Yeah, we're in a little bit of a spot because my memory is fading right now. So
okay, maybe this might help. Did anybody hear about Lance Armstrong?
I heard about that.
Yes, he finally confessed, supposedly, to Oprah about him doping to win all 7 of those Tour de France titles. But the government is saying he may not be telling all the truth.
Mm.
Which is not surprising, actually.
Well, did you hear who's going to Atlanta?
No.
No.
Conan O'Brien?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a friend I need to tell that one.
Yeah, they will be taping on April 1st through the 4th at Atlanta's Tabernacle Concert Hall, which
okay.
is an old Baptist church.
I know if I got one friend here, she's a huge fan of his. I'm going to let her know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's it? Tabernacle?
Atlanta's Tabernacle Concert Hall.
Okay, Concert Hall. Okay, I will definitely let her know that because she's a major fan of Conan O'Brien. If my pen will write.
Here we go. It's on a blog, so I'll
okay.
just leave it to you. Like I said, I did a lot of work today on a blog. Oh, and you can't go anywhere. You feel too dizzy. What else do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Sorry about that.
Forgive our disorganized.
Yes.
We kind of do organized chaos when we're on the air.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Show stuff.
Everybody usually does a dog over each other, which is okay.
Yeah. And I also found out that that Entertainment Tonight is getting a new host.
Ooh.
Rob Marciano.
Oh, he was on CNN as the meteorologist?
Yeah, he's going to be on ET on Entertainment Tonight as an anchor.
Yeah, he actually just started, what, on the, he started on the 7th?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I screwed up his name.
No, it's all right. Yeah, it's Rob Marciano, like almost like the Marciano Cherry or something like that. Maybe I got that wrong. I don't know.
I feel like I always remember the Chia Pet.
Ow!
What the heck was that?
I have no idea.
And also, there is a new network called Cozy.
Okay.
And they will be featuring old TV shows like Magnum P.I., The Bionic Woman, Charlie's Angels.
Hmm.
Ooh.
1950s, 1960s.
The old school stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll have to check into that. Speaking of channels disappearing, G4 is supposed to disappear as of Wednesday. It's going to become the Esquire channel.
I hope there's going to be another channel out there for those who like to learn about upcoming technology for gaming and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I like G4 because I'm a huge X-Men nut. I love X-Men. Thanks to my dad. And, yes, I do have the first X-Men issue from the 1960s.
Whoa, that's nice.
Yeah, thanks. Like I said, thanks to my dad. The guy that owns the house I grew up in contacted me like 2 or 3 weeks ago and said he still had two tubs of dad's comics that we had left there like 10 years ago. I went there to pick them up, and I started leafing through them today, and I found Dad's copy of the 1960s X-Men comic.
Oh, nice.
Wow. You need to frame that one, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a friend of mine in high school told me this. He had a friend who had every X-Men comic book in pretty doggone good shape. He went away to college for a year. His mother threw out all the comics, and he lost about $15,000.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I actually owned, there was a one-shot comic that was made of X-Men that not many people actually know about called X-Men Alpha. Literally, one issue, because at the end of the issue, Apocalypse destroys the world. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in this issue, I think there wasn't a kid created out of this, but I remember Magneto was the leader of the X-Men, and he had Rogue.
You're talking about Age of Apocalypse.
No. This is completely different. It's one issue. Heather, I swear upon everything.
It's one issue.
Yeah, it's a one shot. It's called X-Men Alpha. And it literally, in the course of that one issue, explained that Professor Xavier had been killed, and now it was basically Magneto and the remainder of the X-Men, including Logan and Scott and Jean Grey, versus Apocalypse, and it even contained people like Frog and Spike, people you'd normally associate with the Brotherhood, and it was literally a battle between the group versus Apocalypse, and the power that they put out in that one clash destroyed the world.
Yeah, I have to admit that when I started reading X-Men, I was about 7 or 8, and Dad kept on saying, oh, it's above your head, because I just could not get into it. Then they came out with Generation X, and that was a series I grew up with because it was about the next generation of X-Men, Jubilation League team. And when that series ended, I was about, I think I was 17. And I was devastated. I loved that series.
Okay. Well, I will say right now, for in general, the X-Men comics that I've read, and I've read quite a few, a lot of them I read actually had Professor X dead, so...
Mm-hmm.
Most of them had someone else leading. There was one with Logan leading that was pretty interesting. You know, it's craziness. You know? And honestly, there's so many storylines involved with X-Men and that we don't even know all of them.
Yeah. I mean...
Yes, we are geeks.
Oh, yeah.
Now they have covered a new storyline where, this happened like a couple years ago. So Scarlet Witch said no more mutants, causing all the mutants on Earth except for 198 mutants to lose their powers, including Jubilee. Well, another mutant child was born, Hope Summer. And people were all after her, like Sinister was after her with his team, Mystique and the Brotherhood, the X-Men. The X-Men got to her, and Cable took her into the future. Came back a year ago, and Hope is now 17 years old. She can copy other mutants' powers, but that's not enough. She's a Jean Grey lookalike, and the Phoenix is after her.
Oh, so the Phoenix is going to... try and infect her, essentially.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Doggone that Phoenix. She always causes so much trouble.
Like I said.
Trouble. I think that in my view of X-Men, at least, as far as I'm concerned, it's not the Brotherhood that's the ultimate evil. It's not Apocalypse that's the ultimate evil. I kind of see more Phoenix as the ultimate evil, because no matter what you do, no matter how many times you kill the body that Phoenix is in, it always bounces to another in the line of Jean Grey.
Yes. Basically, when I guess the Phoenix did come back to Earth earlier this summer, it was Avengers versus X-Men. And the Phoenix was after Hope, but instead of getting to her, it rappelled off of her and hit Scott Summers, Ileana Rasputin, a.k.a. Magic, Yulsa Rasputin, Colossus, Emma Frost, and Namor, making him the Phoenix Five. Scott Summers accidentally lost control of his powers, killing Professor Xavier. How many times has that man died? Hope Summers.
You know,
sounds like a soap opera.
Yeah, Hope Summers inadvertently becomes Phoenix.
Of course, there has to be someone.
Yeah.
And Dark Phoenix is just a weird character anyway. I mean, every time, there's really no personality growth to the character, because the Phoenix is just an unstoppable juggernaut.
Yeah, unstoppable juggernaut, goes psycho.
Yeah. Let's just say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all of us are also Power Ranger fans hardcore, well, except for Shirley.
No, that's the honest truth, but I'll admit I had a crush on RJ during Jungle Fury.
Yeah.
RJ was cool, especially since he was our first Purple Ranger.
Oh my gosh, okay, I'm trying to, sorry guys, neighbors are out in the hallway, I'm trying to do a radio show, gosh.
Thank goodness Mom already went to bed.
Yeah. Gotta love it. I love my neighbors.
So, yeah, here's what we think of Rangers in general. Honestly, having David on today was awesome. David,
yes.
if you listen to this after this episode, after where you were and listen to us, just understand you're a big inspiration to AMC Press's members in general to be who they are. You know, we may not be different in similar ways, like we may not be gay, but we are different in our own unique ways with our mental illnesses, and honestly.
And me, I'm going to be honest, I actually do not have any known disabilities, but I have never I've always followed the beat of my own drum, which sometimes alarms the heck out of my family.
Well, like I said, we all support every person, no matter who they are, no matter what kind of condition they are, mental illness, different sexual orientations, different viewpoints, you know. I mean, I'm a hardcore Democrat that supports gun rights. Go figure.
Hey, I see nothing wrong with that.
You know, that's my viewpoint. And I do different things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I mean, besides for AMC Press and this show and the blog, I also help out Karen with the official website, effective as of earlier this week. And I'm also a moderator of a Minecraft server. Yeah.
That's
funny.
Another one, isn't it? So, if I may, I may have to advertise it here, the Conquest server, so that's where I am when I'm not busy with other projects.
Yes, and it's always fun.
Yeah, when I don't respond, it's usually because I'm in Minecraft, isn't it, Allison?
Yes, it is. It's very, it's always nice when there's moments where it's like opinion, or just wanting to ask for an opinion, or just being like, okay, what the fuck are you doing? You're not answering your fucking phone.
Oh, sorry, I was moderating. I have to do a lock block.
I'm trying to do this live show. I really can't take this.
Yeah, for real. Another one. The live show. Oh, God, I've had people call me in the middle of AMC Press, and it's just like, God damn it.
It's like, I'm in the middle of this. What are you doing?
Yeah, and I tell people, with me, on most weekdays, well, all weekdays until today, if you call me between 10 and 11, you're going to get bitch clicked.
Yeah.
And I've done it to Allison before when she's been off the show for different reasons. She tried calling me in the middle, and what did I do?
Hung up on me, which... It's to be only expected.
So, like I said, I take my job seriously, so what you're going to hear from me, yeah, you're probably going to hear some ranting. So if we hit a couple of sensitive things.
And sometimes we kind of hit the X-ray.
Oh, God, that's the fun day.
Oh, yeah.
Like when I rant about... the Kardashians and the only thing they're useful for.
Oh, God.
Please.
Oh, God.
The only thing Kardashian I'll take is the fact that I found a $78 dress for $3.99.
Well, you don't get what I'm saying.
They're not getting... Now, I heard that they're getting served with papers since they don't have fucking ideas of their own, so it was fun.
Yeah, well, quite honestly, when the only thing you're good at is putting your likes up and getting it from some dude on camera, you've really got a sad, sad life, honestly. If you have to depend on being someone's love pillow...
Yeah. Among other things.
Oh, I never have kept up with the Kardashians. I don't really care.
Okay, should we let them in on another side that we do love about Power Rangers? That's the Japanese version.
Ah.
Sure.
Don't even get me started on Shinkenger. Don't even get me started on Shinkenger and Samurai.
If you should know it, Toku's name, Toku Continuum. That's actually a group I started on Facebook about a year and a half ago. My father got me started on Sentai, I guess before I was born, because he was serving in the military in Korea, and he had started recording all the Sentai there and brought it here to the U.S. And I grew up watching the Sentai on VHS, which for you new kids is videotape. And after he passed away, I gained his collection of Sentai, and I'm trying to put them onto DVD very slowly because they're so fragile now because of how old they are. But I started the Tokusatsu Continuum, and I will be posting the link in the chat room too. So if anyone is a fan of Sentai like we are, come and join the group. We love to have you.
And we also have our own group as AMC Press. Is if you've ever watched Spaceballs, you're going to get the reference, because in Spaceballs, there's everything Spaceballs. Spaceballs, the toilet paper. Spaceballs, this coat. Spaceballs, the giant Mac. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So our group is called AMC Press, the group.
And I put the link in there earlier when the show began, along with the different links that we have on Facebook for AMC Press, along
uh-huh.
with Twitter and WordPress. Should I put this all in the chat room again?
Yeah.
Okay.
And guys, I'm going to say it right now. To Karen, to Kat, to Jeff, to James, to Topher, to Christian, to all you guys. We, as AMC Press, are proud to be a part.
What was that?
I'm afraid to figure out what that is.
Sounds like a neighbor.
No, it's my friend. He thought that we were still in UCR time. But
oh.
Here's what I'm saying. Kat, Karen, all you guys, thank you for the chance to be a part of your guys' groups. Thank you guys for allowing us to join you guys in the show. Everything. You guys are awesome. So
yes,
we got
you
like
are.
5 minutes left. We've got 5 minutes left, and I'm just glad. I'm actually proud to say that you guys are AMC Press's support.
Yes,
in everything.
And then sure we'll bring on the craziness. We won't.
Yeah, today's kind of an off episode. We're sorry. We're a little bit off our game. You know, new situation, new switchboard. Got to get used to it.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Sorry, you guys can hear me typing.
Yeah.
I'm putting everything in the chat room. So.
I'm sure there's going to be times where we're going to get into topics that are very either interesting or topics like.
Yeah, well, if you guys don't mind, I want to plug my little group, the one I started after Frodo and I came to the understanding about this goofball that gave us a lot of headaches. But I started a group called Total Tunage. And it's like all tunes, all the time, anime, normal, obscure, you name it, we'll get it.
Yes, in fact, Miss Heather has found an obscure anime in this.
Stop it. Oh.
Yeah. She found Sailor Stars and posted it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I put you on the spot again, Heather. Don't you love me?
I love Sailor Stars. Okay, sorry.
I just like putting you on the spot, Heather.
Okay, I'm probably going to be stepping on some toes here, but who does not like the Legend of Chima?
I do not like that. I'm so glad I did not watch it Wednesday night. That is an absolute ripoff of Thundercats.
Exactly. Shirley, do you want to put your group in there?
I just did. It's in there.
No, I mean the Chima one.
Oh yes, my all Thundercats Chima haters club.
Yeah, if you guys have seen the Legends of Chima, you see a lion from the Lion Tribe in blue armor, magic sword waving it around. That's Lionel. Mm.
Yep. All right. Here's the link to the All Thundercats Chima Haters Club. And by the way, in case you're curious, I actually got that name from the old Our Gang shorts when they had the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Yes, we are perpetually
walking, talking, living tribute to all of Hollywood, including animation and everything. Ha ha.
Oh, Superhuman Cyber Squad. Kajiro, I love that show. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, probably just because you love Matthew Lawrence.
Oh.
Shut up.
Ooh.
Ouch.
I know Heather well enough to know that she understands that to be a joke.
I know. Well, we have 1 minute, so...
And we're done.
We do not have our music up, so when James gets it ready for us, we'll have ours up and we'll be playing that out. But for right now, we are AMC Press that takes over UCR every Friday after the show. And we will welcome you back next week.
Yes.
Allison, Heather, Shirley, everyone. So have a good night, everybody.
Yes. Yeah,
good
you
night.
For-
sleep tight. Don't beg my advice. Enjoy the 3-day weekend if you don't have to work Monday.
Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it.
Bye.